Would you turn again with me to Proverbs chapter 3? And perhaps much as we carry a key in our pocket to enter the place, whether it's small or large, we take a few words here from verses 5 and 6, where we understand it, but Solomon says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." We'll comment on that last line in due course. I read these words and I hear these words. These are words that over the years many people in the church have quoted. They're well set in some people's minds. So people know these words. But do we know these words? How many folk know the highway code, but think they know better? Okay, they wouldn't say so. You ask them, they wouldn't say so. Wouldn't admit it. But the way they drive tells you that's what they think. How often might you go into a situation and you will tell someone, "These are the facts," and they will say, "Yes, I know, but I want to do it my way." Or, "I still feel this or that." And especially in spiritual things. So I think perhaps it is slightly more of a Western thing, but that's where we live. That's what we need to be wary of. We are surrounded by theoretical theists, people who say, "I do believe in God." Surveys point to that. We did a little survey down at Village Day last summer, and a very high percentage of people said, "I do believe in God." But when you asked other questions related to that, the percentages were very low. What does it mean, "I believe in God"? Theoretical theists, people who say, "I believe." Practical atheists act as though there is no God. No one to give account to or to rely on, even. And that's what this is about, relying on God. Trust in the Lord. There are people who don't know that, who haven't heard these words. But perhaps you have. I think many of you have. We need to hear them again today. We can think that we know these words. They're often quoted, but are we living by them? Are we living trusting in the Lord with all our heart? Or are we leaning often on our own understanding? Theoretically, we say these words. We say, "Yes, I believe these things." Practically, do we show that we know them? To dwell on these words a little then this morning and pray that they will affect our lives. If they have done, well and good, but let it be more so. Let's remember, let's recall. And I want to first of all look at these few lines positively as they do. They look at life in positive terms, then also in negative terms. And then especially to look at your helper and the result. Let's look at these words and the matter of life, how we go through our life. Look at it positively as these lines do. Look at them negatively as these lines do. Look at your helper. Also here, look at the result. Again, in just these few words. Look at life positively. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, line 1 in verse 5. In all your ways acknowledge him, the first line of verse 6, or the third line of this little section. And these two lines, the beginning of verse 5 and the beginning of verse 6, they complement each other. And this is something that you may be familiar with. Maybe not. It's very common in poetic passages such as this in the Hebrew Old Testament. You know this poetic in many parts. It's because there'll be lines that support one another, simple statements, and another one that perhaps repeats the idea or expands on the idea, develops it further, but it's closely associated. And that's what we do have, the first half of both 5 and 6 here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. They help us with the some progression in the message we need to hear. The first part then starts with trust. Trust is to rely, trust is to depend, to put your confidence in the Lord. It is to rest all your weight, to rest your life upon Him. And that means where He says something, where He says go, you go. Where He says do, you do. You trust His word. You know that He is the one who is worthy of your trust. When He says stop, you stop. When He says let me sort it out, you take your hands off. Why should we trust in Him? Why should we respond in that way as we are called to here? It is because He is the Lord. There's a great deal wrapped up in that title, the Lord. This is the particular name that God gave to His people Israel, relating to His covenant. It is His covenant name. He says, I enter into a covenant with you. And that covenant is that He will do all things in maintaining a relationship with His people. He makes that promise. He has made that promise. And He's made it knowing the waywardness of man. He is, therefore, by definition, utterly trustworthy. Not a single word of His will fail. It hasn't done. We know that He went to the extreme cost of sending His Son, the Lord Jesus. He is completely faithful. Where He tells us He will provide, He will help, He will do it. And that means that when He gives direction, you know that that is the way of truth. And Paul writes later, as he was writing to Timothy, amongst other things, he says, if we are faithless, and that goes without saying virtually, but if we are faithless, if we are undependable, if we break down and we don't keep our word, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. He is worthy of our trust. You can trust Him. Trust His every promise. And trust His every direction. And the writer goes on to say, trust this Lord with all your heart. Try not to split yourself. Try not to be thinking that you can trust in Him and then trust in something else as well. Elijah, when Alistair MacLeod was here a few weeks ago, he read the passage from Elijah on Mount Carmel, where there were the people of Israel, and he challenged them and he said, if the Lord is God, serve Him. Joshua, when he was leaving, about to die, and he was leaving the people of Israel, he said, you can't serve the Lord. You say you will, you can't, because you go after other gods and other directions. With all your heart. And we sometimes, in English, we use the word all if you talk about all the chairs here. You're talking about all the different units and put them together. You can't do that with your heart. It is one. It is with the whole heart. Not trying to divide it in one direction. It is an impossibility. So if you are pursuing trust in something else, you are trusting in that, not the Lord. Trust in Him with all your heart. And verse 6 then says, in all your ways. This is what unites these two lines together. In all your ways. It is the completion of man. It is the comprehensive gathering together of all that we are. In all your ways, in whatever you're doing, wherever you're going. In all of these things, no exclusions, no exceptions. It tells us, for one thing, that this Lord, this covenant Lord, how can he maintain his covenant except being the Almighty? But this covenant Lord has an interest in all your ways. Again, with no exceptions. There is no part of your life that he is uninterested in. There's no part of your life that he is incapable of helping. In all your ways. In all your ways, wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you think, acknowledge him. Now what does this mean? Think of it this way. How you are walking down the street with friends perhaps, and there's somebody who you know at church, and they're not at school, they're not at work, and you see them, and you maybe look in the window of the shop so that you don't see them. You're not acknowledging them. But they go down the street, they come the other way, and you say, hi, it's great to see you, how are you doing? You're acknowledging them regardless of who else is around you. They matter. It's not that far removed, if at all, with God. You acknowledge him here. You sing his songs. You read his word. And you say amen to the prayers. And you go out. And you're faced with a question in work, in the office. You're faced with a challenge amongst your friends at school. Where does this match that? Is it just these ways that you acknowledge him? Or is it all your ways? That's what the writer says here. It can be interesting being a minister. How many people might acknowledge you or might not? You fit sometimes in some situations, but not at all. What about God? I don't care about me. How do you deal with God? Do you acknowledge him? Wherever you are, you go around and walk with the Lord. You meet somebody, you don't avert your gaze, you don't try and avoid their eye contact, but you acknowledge them, you turn from wherever you're going and say, no, this is better. I saw a clip just the other day of a young sportsman who, in a pretty demanding sport, tough competition, he was fairly new to it and he had just come to his first minor success. First time in his career. And he was surrounded by his support team, and in the background was his mum. And the film was showing this, and he came to this point, and then he jumped down and he hugged his support team, and they hugged him, and they were shouting and whooping and stuff. And but just before that, his mum had just quietly walked up beside him, given a wee squeeze around the middle and giving him a little peck on the cheek. And he said, you could tell, he was saying, come, get away, get away. He couldn't have done what he'd done except his mum had got him there over the years as he'd grown up. But there he wasn't quite ready to acknowledge her. His team, yes. But what about his mum? What about God? What about the Lord? He's given you life, every breath of your life, from conception onwards, gives you your daily bread where no one else can ultimately. He gives you your abilities and skills for school, for work, for every situation in life. And you would acknowledge your teachers, you might acknowledge your friends because you say they're your friends. What about God, who's been your friend from day one? Who's been your helper, your teacher, your provider? And you cannot get even a Gillette razor blade. You cannot get between everything that God has done. Every moment, every millisecond, and go down as far as you possibly can, God has been there. Will you acknowledge Him? The people all around you, will you testify to His place in your life? Will you acknowledge Him? Jesus said to the people around Him, whoever desires to come after Me, whoever wants to get the benefits from God, whoever wants to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels, and there is nothing beyond that. If you will not acknowledge him now in all your ways, the time will come when he will not be able to acknowledge you. If you are ashamed of him now, the time will come when he will be ashamed of you, and there will be no more history beyond that moment to resolve that problem. Look at it positively. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge him. Now the negative approach. Lean not on your own understanding, the second part of verse 5. The negative side, the negative way of treating this, of speaking of it. Lean not. Don't lean on your own understanding. Perhaps you've seen someone do it. Perhaps you've seen a little bit of footage of somebody doing it where there's a table or something here and they've got the legs crossed and leaning on this and they're putting their weight on it, and then you see the table leg go. And what happens to them? Well, they're coolly leaning against a pillar or a wall or something. Maybe it's just one of these partitions and suddenly it goes. It collapses, so do they. Lean not on your own understanding. What happens when your understanding collapses? It's your own. It's got all your own limitations upon it. What happens when it collapses? If you're leaning on it, you collapse too. Think of the difficulties you might have where you have something that's a very cherished idea, and someone comes along and deflates it. Someone comes along and says, there's no reason to think that way. It may be a sports team that you are so full of. It may be maybe business. It may be maybe science itself. And it can be religion. If it's your understanding alone that you have, how strong is it? It has nothing to compare with the Lord's understanding. If at this very moment I was to snap my fingers so that all your chairs would fall apart, it would be very interesting, wouldn't it? However, if one of you had sat at the beginning on a shaky chair and you were cutting it fine so you couldn't go finding another one without disturbing things, if your chair is shaky, there will be something about you even now, so much later after the beginning of the service, where you will be braced. And if it does fall apart, you might not quite go down in such a heap. Be aware of the weakness of your own understanding. Be prepared and find something else to lean on. We've been singing about these things, as well as reading. But at the moment, you are leaning. You are not one whit prepared should your chair collapse. You are utterly leaning upon it. How often are you doing that with your own understanding of life? By implication, this is the negative statement, by implication, as it's surrounded by trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him, is to say, lean on Him instead. Lean on His understanding. So first we have what you can, what you are instructed, what you should do. You can do it. Or we would not be taught to do so. You can do it. Trust in the Lord. Now we have what not to do. Don't lean on your own understanding. Over the years, I guess you've been getting to know me a bit, and you know that there are times when I see the logic in a situation. The logic of this is that your understanding is so limited. Why depend on those limitations when there is an alternative? I've said it before recently. I said, you don't know what's beyond this moment. You can expect things, but you don't know. That's your understanding. So limited in this magnificent world. Don't stake your life on those limitations. It doesn't fit with trusting the Lord. You know these words. You know the call to trust in the Lord, and you will say, I do trust in the Lord. Do you trust in the Lord? Or is there a leaning on your own understanding? When you go look to the direction of your life, how much of it are you keeping in your own hands? This is a call to us to consider where that will get you. It's a call to face up to it seriously. Not to depend on what everyone else is doing in this world, but trust in the Lord. Rejoice when He is there in your sights, that He is the one who is pleased to be your companion. Trust in His teaching and His leading. Leaning on your own understanding. Think back in the week that's just gone. Some of the difficulties you faced. And you've gone through them. To some extent, in your own wisdom, your own strength. Have you really understood everything that's going on around you? Let's look at it seriously. Look at the realities of our lives. Have you come up perfectly? I'm sure I can say you haven't. And so we're called, don't stick with that way. Put your trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge Him, join yourself to Him as you are going one way. He comes towards you. Turn and go with Him. Rejoice that He will be found with you. Look at your helper. We come to the last line of these four. Look at your helper. I've used the illustration of walking down the street and you acknowledge someone. Isn't there always the fear at times that they might not acknowledge you back? You don't have to worry about that with God. If you should say, figuratively, if you should say, Lord, it's wonderful to see you, He will say, it's wonderful to see you too. He will say. I have no doubt whatsoever about that. You put your trust in the Lord, He will engage with you. He shall, we're told here. Jesus spoke of Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. He's trying to catch your eye day after day, moment after moment. He's trying to catch your ear with his words of comfort and encouragement and guidance. He's trying to do that. He's looking to you throughout everything. Everything is working towards calling you to Himself. Will you make eye contact with Him? This is your helper. You do that. If you acknowledge Him, He shall. He will. He will do what follows. He, this Lord of heaven and earth, the whole Bible from the very beginning is the story of God letting us know that He wants us with Him. God letting us know that He's ready when we're ready. This is the question. Will you? Will you come to him, acknowledge him, trust him? He will receive that. He will receive you. Not a deputy, not an Aaronic priest, not an apostle, not a pope, not a Christian minister, not a gifted prayer warrior. None of these things are presented to us here, but the Lord himself. The God who made us and the God who keeps truth forever. He will. Everyone else will fall aside. Everyone else fails because we are creatures. Himself. That little word, he, is a massive word, is a massive message, a glorious message. If it is him that you put your trust in, he is the one who will carry that trust. Remember Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's another verse you know, isn't it? Do you know it? Are you using it? Are you living by it? This is your helper, he. Look at the result. He shall direct your paths. It's connected by the and. That word actually means something too. It's a direct consequence of putting your trust in him, acknowledging him, not leaning on your own understanding anymore. A direct consequence of this is that this Lord, covenant Lord, the God of heaven and earth, he will direct your paths. And some of you might have if you have a different Bible version, you'll read it slightly differently. There is a little bit of range in the meaning of the word that we have here, but it's all good. Direct your paths is a good one. He will show you your way. Or an alternative is to make your paths straight. And I talked about this a little bit earlier, about the roads, a straight road or a smooth road. But it's a picture which has its limitations. It's all of these things. There are some verses a little later in the chapter which tell us something similar. In verse 22, the words of wisdom, in verse 22, they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then in verse 23, you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. Those obstacles, those traps will be removed. Verse 26, if the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Such wonderful pictures. Also, over into chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. So it's not just about being straight flat or straight in direction. It's about being prepared. It's being having the we read in Pilgrim's Progress one evening of the Christian going through the valley of the shadow of death in the dark. And it was a very narrow path, and on both sides were dangers. But he was kept through that path. And that's something of what we have here. When you run, you will not stumble, because the Lord will be your keeper. It's not just about, we have in Isaiah 40, and that's looking forward to the coming of Christ, and John the Baptist talked about that. Every valley shall be exalted, so that what's down is lifted up. Every mountain and hill brought low. It's a little bit like the way they build motorways these days. They fill in the valley, they cut through the hill, and it's all straight. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. It's not just about that. It is also about the times when you will be going through what you might think are difficult times. It doesn't seem so smooth. There is the liability for tripping. But the Lord, this tells us, will keep you in those paths. He will keep you through those ways. That's why direct your paths is also valuable. But he will show you the way. He will be with you in the way. Your eyes are amazing things, and you can demonstrate that by driving or on a mountain bike, perhaps going through over a rough track or driving over a dirt road, and the vehicle is shaking and a video camera would be shaking, but your eyes are steady. And it's almost as though all those rough places, the Lord Himself is holding you so that you are like the eyes, you are steady. If you trust in Him, if you acknowledge Him, put yourself in His hands. In many ways in our lives, it doesn't appear to be smooth sailing. If you set out to obey God's ways and commands, it doesn't appear to be very smooth. But understanding and wisdom tells you that the other way, to disobey, is always going to be far more difficult. The trouble that men bring upon themselves and so many others. You take that law of God that we read earlier. If you were to set yourself in God's grace and strength to obey these words, the world around you will make it difficult. But look at the difficulties they've made for themselves by disobeying. There may often be windy ways, there may be bumpy, there may be slow, but you have your helper. And he will show you the way. This is then a call to trust in him, trust in the Lord, not holding anything back. Not to let others persuade you that they are better company and help. Not to limit yourself to your own understanding. You don't need to. Tap into what is so much greater. It's the Lord Himself who has not failed in one of His words. He offers Himself as your guide. And so if He says turn left, you know left is best. If He says go on, you know go on is best. When the Lord offers Himself as a guide, it would be a bit like insisting, no, I can climb Mount Everest without a Sherpa. They're the ones who know how to get there. Even the world's greatest climbers need them. But Everest is a foothill compared with the difficulties of life. Put your trust in Him. And He will show you the right paths. He will show you those paths that are eternally profitable. He will give you capabilities. If you lean on Him, He will often make those paths straighter and smoother. Might not look like it to the unenlightened onlooker, the one who doesn't care about Him, but they will often be so much better. But one thing is sure. You put your trust in Him. Put your trust in Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way. What an assurance it is to have Him. That God does keep His word. You can trust Him. You must trust Him. And it means that you will press on in the ways that He sets. Knowing that, as the Apostle says, these are the things that lead you to an eternal weight of glory. Why choose any other way? May God grant blessing. That same blessing on His word. That each of us will no longer lean on our own understanding.